At the Cross by Andy Stinson. I wait, and time ticks past. I gaze, made silent by the sight. I watch as soldiers meticulously move, executing each terrible, torturous task. I gasp. Still life lingers in his fragile, broken form. I flinch as blow by blow, nails bite deep through the flesh to find wood. I stand as he is lifted high, silhouetted against the sky which he has made. I weep as he cry, as his cry echoes deep in my hardened, calloused heart. I wail as he screams, "It is complete, finished, final, said and done." I fall as the sky turns inky black and the sun and moon and stars forget to shine. I kneel as worlds collide and time ticks by. What once bound no longer seems to hold. I bow, for part of me is gone, kept forever on Calvary's painful peak. I wait at the foot of the cross to begin my journey home. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, Matthew 27, verse 45 to 56. This is the word of the Lord. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of Man, the Son of God." Many people were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's son. Jesus, nailed to the cross, comes to the end of his earthly life. And he makes that cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He cries out because he is bearing the weight of the sin of the world. He cries out because he is feeling the agony of the cross. He feels the weight of God's punishment upon him. And he's experiencing the separation from the Father. This is a real expression of how Jesus is feeling. He had real emotions and he showed them. Sometimes we don't see the real emotions. We don't acknowledge them. I think some of it's got to do with some of the art that has been around. One of the pictures I've got up here is of Christ on the cross. And often you see a picture like this, or you see a picture of Jesus with the glowy head thing and the hand, and you don't get the full depth of the emotions that Christ felt. But if you think about it, Jesus is anxious as he prepares to go to the cross, and we see that as he prays, his sweat is falling like drops of blood. While he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark tells us that Jesus was deeply distressed and troubled. Jesus is angry and deeply distressed when the Pharisees who opposed him healing a man with a deformation on a Sabbath. He's angry when he overturns the table of those selling and the money lenders in the temple. Jesus looks down from the Mount of Olives onto Jerusalem, and he weeps with sadness because they reject God's offer of peace. He suffered pain when he was flogged after his arrest. He felt suffering. He felt hunger. He felt thirst. He grew tired. Jesus was amazed by the faith of the Roman officer. He also felt genuine love for people. He felt compassion on the crowd because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was full of joy when he saw that the 72 disciples that he had chosen had gone out and the people had accepted the kingdom of God. And Jesus felt peace. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." He has all of these emotions, all of these feelings. And so it's okay that at this time we might have different emotions. We might have different feelings. Sometimes we are not allowed to have too many feelings as Christians. We sometimes feel it's not proper to express all of our feelings. Sometimes that's because of the scripture, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And so when you see people at church and say, "How are you?" they say, "Oh, fine. Just fine." Sometimes it's promoted by churches whose gospel is all about prosperity and goodness and blessings. Sometimes people aren't free to express some of the challenging feelings that they have. Sometimes we see people expressing those and we worry that maybe they're losing their faith. But I really believe that we should be able to express all of the feelings that we have. There's a place for the joy of the Lord, but we also need a place for sadness, for weeping, for agony, for challenges. We need a place for pain and suffering. We can't just ignore them. We need to include them in our faith journey. In the Bible, we often find these moments, and they're referred to as laments. Psalm 13 is a great example. "How long, Lord?" This is David asking God, "How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" If we're honest, we've had similar moments, and they're okay moments. I sometimes speak to people and they say, "It feels like my prayer's just bouncing off the ceiling." That's a moment like this. Is God really hearing me? God, are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? Do you understand the pain I'm going through? Psalm 80, David again. "How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with a bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us." These are psalms of lament. There's many of them just like that. And it's about people struggling in a very real way to understand faith and God and some of the challenges of life. There's even a whole book called Lamentations. And guess what? It's just full of laments. Lamentations 2 verse 5. "The Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces and destroyed her strongholds. He has multiplied mourning and lamentation for daughter Judah." This is written when Jerusalem is destroyed and when the temple is broken. This lament is written. These were very important parts of the people of Israel's history. It's a way that people can wrestle with faith. It's a way that we can learn more about Almighty God with honesty and truth in His presence. Here's a quote. "To lament is to admit that we are dealing with God-sized problems." Another one. "To lament is to be honest with God about our feelings and our pain." It's an opportunity for us to call on God, share our feelings with God, plead with God that He would intervene. When we lament, we seek God's attention with the purpose of finding His divine compassion. Sometimes we don't feel it's our right that we can share these feelings with Almighty God. But there's a place for this kind of language. There's a place for this kind of theology in our lives. Psalm 13 again. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I'll sleep in death. And my enemies will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. And as this psalm develops, it goes from a place of despair, how long, to a place of desire, look on me and answer, to a place of delight, my heart rejoices in your salvation. Despair, desire, delight. We sometimes find ourselves in a place of despair. If you've been alive long enough, you will know that is true. We sometimes feel as though God is not there or He's left us. Maybe He's forgotten us. For some, this can be a long time. But God does never forget His people. Jesus affirms this when He says in John 14, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. He's talking about the promised Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever. He's always with His people. David asked, how long? We do want God to work right now, immediately, in a supernatural way. We've unfortunately been conditioned to want this and need this. The world wants us to think that everything can be solved in a matter of moments. But sometimes we don't have an instant God. Sometimes we also have to ask the question, how long? David moved from this place of despair to a place of desire. Give light to my eyes. He realizes his lack of understanding. He realizes that God is God and he is not. Give light to my eyes. He's asking that God would help him see what is happening, to help him understand. We need to move from the place of despair to the place of desire. And then we need to try and get to the place of delight. He shares his truth in God and he rejoices in God. He even says that he's going to sing praises. He recalls what God has done in the past and he trusts that God will do great things in the future. He didn't have to worry about God's plans for the future because he knew what God had done in the past. It's good that we recall what God has done for us. If he's done that, what more can he still do? Psalm 13, verse 5. But I will trust in your unfailing love. He goes from complaining to praying, praying to believing. He doesn't trust his own heart, his own feelings, his own emotions. He's really putting his trust in the mercy of God Almighty. Did you know that 1/3 of the Psalms are laments? And the rest are Psalms of praise. We often think that it's the other way around. But many of God's people wrestled with many big things. There's this ongoing expression of pain with God's people as they wrestled with God and what they were going through. We still ask the same questions today, the similar questions that were being asked in the Old Testament. And the question we need to say today, does that lead to a place where we lose our faith? Or does it lead us to a place of pushing into God, waiting for God to embrace us and say, it's okay, I'm with you. I've seen both things happen in people's lives. got the Mense in the Psalms, we've got the Book of Lamentations, and then you've got Job, and we're not going to go there this morning. But we have all of these moments where people wrestle with God. And then we've got Jesus Christ himself. My God, why have you forsaken me? A lament from the cross. He cries out to his Father in his time of pain. He feels abandoned and he calls to God. David said, how long? Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? He knew that he was going to have a time of suffering. Yet he still calls out to his Father. His lament recognizes that things are not as they should be. Do you know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Look at you. I knew that you would know that. That's one of like the Christian funny things, you know. Do you know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Jesus wept. John 11:35. There's this moment where Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus has died. And it's recorded that he's saddened by that to the point where he weeps. Now you can say, but how come? He was just going to bring him back to life. No, he had real feelings. He had real compassion. He really felt the hurt. And he showed it because just the very next verse, the people exclaim, see how he loved him. They knew that he loved Lazarus because of his reaction to the message that he has died. Sometimes we can see lamenting in a negative light in the Western church. And we don't want to lead to a place of a culture of complaint. But there's a place for lament in our lives. A place where we can ask God, why? We must do that. Without lament, Christians often view despair and anxiety in their own lives as a lack of faith. And it's not that at all. Interesting question here. How many songs do we sing in church that are laments? The answer is none. Or maybe, I don't know, some of the worship folk can correct me. But we don't often go there. We don't often go there. I think it gives a false impression to the world that we're always upbeat, and how do they deal with their challenges, the Christians? We never see it. We never understand it. We think that we should rather suffer in silence. And who are we to question God? Are we allowed to do that? We avoid pain. So what are the benefits? Well, there's a whole lot of things. One of the benefits we find in Romans 12 verse 15, weep with those who weep. There's a place where we can also join in the sorrow and difficult times of other people. But lamenting lets us face our realities in a very honest way. It helps us to correct wrong views of God as we seek him and understand him in this place. A true theology has to include an element of lamenting. God doesn't ignore pain and suffering. And God's real power is seen on the suffering and death on the cross of Jesus Christ. So today we come to this place where we remember Jesus Christ crucified. This is a more solemn service. And that's okay. That's okay. We want today... Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Tony Campolo said, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And we know that. Christ is risen. We will proclaim that on Sunday. And he's risen in our lives right now. Every single day of the year, he is risen. But it's okay to stop on this Friday and remember the pain and the suffering. It helps us to frame our lives better, I believe. Somebody said there's no Easter without Good Friday. You have to have today in order for Sunday to have any kind of meaning. We like to have everything wrapped up in 30 minutes or 45 minutes when we watch a TV program. Don't you just hate it when you get to the end and it says to be continued and you're like, what? Have to wait a whole week for the next episode? Well, today's a little bit like that, I'm afraid. To be continued on Sunday. It's fine that we're in this place of sadness because of the shadow of the cross. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The story is to be continued.